Radio Prague News.
Health sector workers in the Czech Republic are to get a pay rise of 10% from January. The police want to question an MP over a reported drink driving incident. And two anti-migration parties have announced plans to run together in regional elections. Health sector workers in the Czech Republic are to receive a pay rise of 10% from January next year. The news was announced on Tuesday by Prime Minister Bohuslav Sobotka, following a meeting between representatives of the government, the regions, the Czech Medical Chamber and health workers' trade unions. Finance Minister Andrej Babiš said that an extra 9 billion crowns would be raised from employees' health insurance in 2017, while his ministry would provide another 2 billion crowns towards salaries in the sector. The police have requested that the Chamber of Deputies lift the immunity of MP Štěpán Stupčuk so that they can question him. The Czech news agency reported that the investigation likely centred on a traffic accident in February involving the Social Democrat politician. Mr. Stupčuk confirmed to the newspaper Pravo that he was facing charges of endangerment under the influence. The TV station Nova reported that the police had found him alone at the scene of an accident, but that he had denied being the driver and refused to take a test for alcohol. Miners at the Darkov mine in North Moravia held an underground protest on Tuesday when they refused to come to the surface following their night shift. The men said they were demanding to know the plans of mine owners OKD. The company is threatened with insolvency. The miners emerged after an underground meeting with an OKD executive that the company described as a working briefing. The firm has around 10,000 workers in a region with relatively high unemployment. Anti-migration politician Tomio Okamura has signed a deal with the former party of President Miloš Zeman to contest regional elections in the autumn on a joint ticket. Mr. Okamura's Freedom and Direct Democracy and the Party of Civic Rights will run together in 11 of the country's 13 regions. The Czech-Japanese politician said at a joint presentation on Tuesday that the two groupings were against the so-called Muslim colonization of Europe and illegal migration. Mr. Zeman is honorary chairman of the Party of Civic Rights. The traditional pub Baračnická Richta in Prague's Malá Strana district is set for closure at the end of June, E15 reported. The old society of Baračníks, which means cottage owners, to which the pub belongs, failed to reach agreement on extending the contract of the current operator and instead made a deal to lease it to an upmarket Italian-owned hotel located next door, the newspaper said. A hall joined to the pub is a well-known venue for social events and concerts. My name is Ian Willoughby, and that's the end of the news.
You're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, with me, Chris Johnston. Coming up in today's programme, the Czech Republic gets ready to revive trade and diplomatic ties with Cuba. We look at how one employer is helping parents face with getting their children preschool places. And we look at how one woman has found beauty in the country's many abandoned buildings. All that coming up, so please stay with us. A thaw in diplomatic relations between the Czech Republic and Cuba should soon see the two countries appointing ambassadors and reviving trade ties that go back half a century. Czech government officials stress that the renaissance in bilateral relations does not mean that Prague will in future abandon the human rights agenda in negotiations with Havana. Daniela Lazareva reports.
The fall of communism in Czechoslovakia in 1989 brought decades of communist brotherhood with Cuba to an abrupt end, and Prague became one of the staunchest defenders of human rights on the island. Relations turned frosty, and in 1993, diplomatic ties were downgraded to chargé d'affaires level as the two countries traded insults, Havana calling Prague a lackey of the United States. In 2001, a Czech MP and student leader were briefly jailed by the Cuban regime after contacting members of the opposition. And 4 years later, then-Senator Karel Schwarzenberg was expelled from the country for the same reason. The Czech Republic continued to support the Cuban dissent and was a vocal advocate of sanctions against the Castro regime. However, in the past 12 months, bilateral relations have mirrored the gradual thaw in Cuba's relations with the United States and the European Union. In the autumn of last year, Prague sent a trade mission to Cuba to re-establish business contacts and capitalize on the good reputation of the Made in Czechoslovakia label in Cuba. Foreign Minister Lubomír Zaorálek.
The continuity in business relations was never completely severed, so it's not like we were back to square one. There are areas of cooperation where we will simply pick up on our long-standing business ties, and other areas we can make use of new opportunities. The important thing is that Czech businesses are interested in the Cuban market, and we're waiting for the door to open.
S dobrou reakcí a že na to mnozí čekali.
Both sides have expressed interest in boosting trade and developing closer cooperation in the spheres of culture, science and education. According to the foreign minister, the ground has been prepared to take diplomatic relations to a new level, and the two countries should appoint ambassadors within a matter of months. In an interview for Radio Prague, Foreign Minister Zaorálek said this does not mean that Prague will abandon the human rights agenda in negotiations.
We made it quite clear in negotiations with Havana that the principles which have governed our foreign policy in the past remain unchanged, that we remain committed to human rights issues and want contacts with all parts of Cuban society, including the opposition. At the same time, the agreement between the EU and Cuba gives us a new platform on which to raise human rights issues.
In 2014, the two countries' turnover exceeded 600 million crowns. The leading Czech export commodities to Cuba were electrical machinery, turbines, motorcycles, grains, dairy products and pharmaceuticals, while it imported tobacco, coffee, cocoa and fish.
Daniela Lazareva looking at the possible revival of diplomatic and trade ties with Cuba. Czaslav Airport has become the first military base in the country to offer families child group services, effectively a daycare system for parents unable to register their son or daughter at a local preschool, either because they're too young or there are no available places. Legislation covering so-called child groups was introduced last year to offer parents an alternative when they were left with no other option. Jan Wellinger has the details.
Enrolling your child at a preschool in the Czech Republic can be a major hassle, to put it mildly, an ordeal many parents can talk about at the drop of a hat. Some years back, the media reported that some had gone as far as taking the highly questionable step of leaving their children at supervised children's corners in shopping malls for hours. Problematic at best, as such corners qualify as little more than supervised playgrounds. They do not provide anything close to complex security or care, including places for children to eat or rest. Legislators in the country reacted to the shortage of spots in nursery schools by introducing child groups. According to the spokesman for the Ministry of Regional Development, there should be around 200 of such groups across the Czech Republic by the end of this year, partly paid for by European funds. The matter has now also been addressed by the military, specifically at Čáslav Air Base east of Prague. The base's commander, Colonel Petr Hromek, discussed the project with Czech TV.
The reason we formed the children's group was to take care of our employees, to help them take care of their children, so that they could return sooner to work.
The group at the Čáslav Air Base can take up to 24 pupils, and activities offered are similar to those of a regular nursery school. Yaroslava Procházková is a member of the four-person team at the center.
The children have music, physical education, didactic exercises, exercises improving motor skills.
One of those employed at the airbase itself is Master Sergeant Tomáš Gdovin. He told Czech TV that the group had allowed his wife to be able to return to her job. They did try to enroll their 2.5-year-old son at local nursery schools, but had no luck.
The fact that the children's groups at my work site is a huge advantage. My wife just returned to work. We did try to enroll our son, but at 2.5, he's too young. The schools were all full, and they also have different preferences.
The Czech army is now considering forming child groups at other bases as well. Czech TV reported that two in particular are under consideration, those being in Bechyně and Stará Boleslav.
Jan Wellinger on those new childcare services. Now we turn to our regular feature In Focus with Ruth Frankova.
While most people regard decrepit buildings as something ugly, there are some who actually find them fascinating. One of the people enchanted by these modern-day ruins is Czech student Katka Havlíková. For several years now, she has been exploring vacant buildings across the Czech Republic as well as beyond the country's borders. She has even published a book on urban exploration, and another one is to be released later this year. I met with Katka Havlíková to find out more about the phenomenon and her own fascination by vacant buildings.
Urban exploration or urbex is something like exploring of abandoned places. It is exploring of places which were made by people, mainly buildings, hospitals, factories, castles, chateaus.
When did it originate? When did it actually start? Can you tell me something about its history?
Nobody knows when it started, because I think people every time want to see something which is decay, which is abandoned. I think it's something like archaeology. Nobody knows when it started.
And how did you yourself become involved in urbex, in urban exploration?
So, once upon a time, when I was traveling to grammar school, I was traveling around one abandoned castle, and 3 years ago I wanted to see it inside. So I went to the village, when it is, and climbed the fence and go inside, and I think it was my first exploring of something abandoned.
So it was your own initiative. At that time you didn't know that there was something called urbex.
I didn't know that it's called urbex, but I saw some Facebook websites and I saw that some people making photos of these places, and I was interested too.
So after you visited this castle, you then became more involved in urban exploration.
Yeah, that's it.
And what do you personally find so fascinating about these empty spaces?
I'm doing it for atmosphere of places, because I love it. And another fact that fantasy in these places is working in another way than in casual world, for example. And I am inspired by these places for my writing, because I'm writing stories of these places and I'm writing fantasy. So it's my inspiration, that's why I do it. And making photos, because it's really unbelievable if you are inside. So you want to have something like memory, and I think photo is the best type of memory which can you have at home.
And in general, are there some rules that the community of urbexers has to follow?
Yeah, there are some rules, but it's up to each of community if he will follow these rules.
So basically they are just unwritten rules that but you don't have to follow. What are they? Can you mention them?
The main is leave nothing but footprints and take nothing but pictures. It's the main rule, and I think it follows most people about urban exploration. And another rules are that you can't break into the building. You can go inside, but you can't do anything which will change the building. You can't take anything from that building, because you can go inside, you can watch, you can take photos, and you can feel the atmosphere, but nothing to do with that place.
You said that you can't break into the building, but I guess urban exploration still involves a certain amount of illegal activity, because it usually involves trespassing, since most of these buildings are closed off and you shouldn't really enter them. Is that right?
Yeah, it's true. It is illegal activity. But urbexers in origin can't harm the place. But there are some people, for example, vandals and thieves, and they break into the building. So you can follow their way. You can go by the open window or through the broken window, but you can't break the window.
Have you ever got into trouble with the police for entering a building?
Yeah, once in Germany, when we explored abandoned hospital, they caught us because they thought that we are thieves. They were looking for three men in aerial of hospital, but they caught three girls and one boy, and that was a problem because it was illegal, yeah.
Was it difficult to sort of sort out the situation?
They saw our cameras, our tripods, and they can't believe that we are inside only for making photos because they didn't know what is urbex.
When you enter these empty spaces, often they are buildings that are falling apart. Do you sometimes feel the urge to renovate them, to save them from falling apart?
Sometimes, yeah. Sometimes if you see architecture of that place or do you know the history of that place, you want to save it, but you can't because it's not your business. You can only take a documentary of that place. You can make only pictures, but saving or rescue of that place is not your business.
Have you ever considered sending the pictures that you take to some initiatives that could perhaps change this, could perhaps save these buildings?
Yeah, for example, in Belgium, there is Castle Miranda, and there was a decision to turn it down. But so many urbexers were there, and they make a petition for saving this Miranda, and luckily Miranda is standing for another years.
Do you usually visit the places on your own, or do you travel with a small community of people who also like urban exploration?
Both. Some people explore in group. They've got close friends, close colleagues, and they visit places together. And there are people which prefer going somewhere alone. But it's more dangerous, I think, because the condition of building is not good and you don't know who you will meet.
And have you ever discovered a building yourself? Have you ever made your own discovery in terms of urban exploration?
Yeah, I discovered one steel mill, which is in my village. And it was fantastic because it was one of the last steel mill in our country, which was in that condition. And I'm only one who have it in the pictures.
Where is that, by the way? Where do you come from?
I can't say it because it's for the safe of this building. But I can say that this building is not in that condition like 2 years ago when I saw it, because owner of that mill have all equipment take away from that building. So it's empty now.
You said you can't say where you took the picture to protect the building. Does that mean that when you discover a building as an urbexer, you don't share your discovery with the rest of the community?
With some people, because I've got close friends with who I go there, or we are sharing some locations.
Are you exploring only within the Czech Republic, or do you travel all across the world?
We are traveling all over the world if we have money and time. But Czech Republic is full of abandoned places, so it's good to looking around when you go to work, to school, to another location. You will see some places which nobody wants in photos.
And are there some places within the Czech Republic, some specific regions which have more abandoned buildings than others?
For example, in borders of Czech Republic, there are so many factories. And I think in Prague, there are so many houses, for example, flat houses.
What kind of buildings do you prefer? Are they industrial buildings or these apartment houses that you mentioned, or old villas?
I'm not clear-cut. I like everything. But recently I'm exploring most of factories because I'm visiting that places with my boyfriend and his friends, and they love industrial.
And personally, what are your favorite places? Can you mention them, although you probably won't tell us where they are?
It's car cemetery in Sweden. It's called Bostnas, and I think I can say this name because it's a very popular place in last years. And it's really breathtaking because there are about 1,000 cars in meadow and in woods, and plants and trees are growing through these cars. And I think it's a really beautiful place, especially in morning fog. It's really scary.
And in the Czech Republic, what are some of your favorite places in this country?
It is the mill in my village. It's my best place and it's forever in my heart.
That feature was first broadcast in August last year. If you've any comments about that or any of today's programme content, then please send it to us. You can contact us by email at english@radio.cz or on Facebook and Twitter. We'll be extremely glad to hear from you. But from me, Chris Johnston, thanks very much and goodbye.